Time of year, All-Star Games are back this weekend. NHL, All-Star Game, and the Pro Bowl return. And I know there's not the same level of excitement for these kind of games that there always have been and historically in the past. But the NHL All-Star Game's at least trying to keep some of that specialness. They've totally jettisoned the conference concept and the other thing they do every other year or so, North America versus the world, but now pickup game. Get two captains and a group of all-stars. They have a fantasy draft, which that's the appeal of it, actually, is you're totally drawing in the people to play fantasy sports because they get to watch an actual fantasy draft on TV with real players. It's not just a bunch of nerds online, like in my fantasy hockey league, for example. Zdeno Chara of the Bruins, Daniel Alfredson of the Senators, picking their teams, Alfredson getting all the Senators, all the hometown guys on one team. I'm partial to Chara's team, though, because they got a lot more scores and a lot of scoring, maybe a 12-10 game again. Following that up is the Pro Bowl, which is the NFL All-Star Game, and I've got a really good modification on how to make that game somewhat relevant again. Here with me to discuss a bunch of hockey and a little bit of football, staff writer for the Tampa Bay Times, Paul Driscoll. Paul, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
I am fabulous. So, what's the excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 about the Tampa Bay Bucks new coach?
Well, it's tough to say because a lot of people, they just kind of came out of left field. Kind of like the Chip Kelly thing, but that kind of dipped down real quick. I'd say about a 3 or a 4.
Ooh.
Not very high.
Now, if you're getting a college coach that no one's really said, hey, I think he'd make a great NFL head coach, it might be a bit of a stretch.
I think it's a pretty big stretch, but unfortunately, when you... They're still having the Gruden trickle-down effect there from several years ago. You fire a proven coach who, in my opinion, took several teams post-Super, after the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, with a very thin budget because, unfortunately, the owners, the Glazers, have a hard time opening their wallets. And in my opinion, I think he took several of their teams. I think he overachieved with them, and people kind of got used to the winning around here because Tony Dungy, I don't know how many years he was here, how many years he took them to the playoffs, but it was a regular thing. So I think people kind of got spoiled, and they fired him after the Bucks lost the final four games of the, I believe it was the 08 season. And then they brought in Raheem Morris, who was initially going to be moving up to the defensive coordinator position after Monty Kiffin decided he was going to be going with his son to the college ranks. And then you saw what happened with Raheem Morris. I think he's a good guy. I think he'll maybe one day end up being a good NFL coach, but just not enough experience right now. And they canned him, and now you got Schiano coming in from Rutgers with, again, no coaching experience at the professional level, and I just think he kind of have the lingering effect of firing Gruden several seasons ago.
I think in their defense, though, I have to say that John Gruden is a prototypical type A personality, and maybe they just don't want that kind of mindset.
That's a very real possibility, and that may have played into the decision, but unfortunately, I don't think that they took a step forward or even stayed the same. I think they took a step back by hiring Raheem Morris. And I understand that they were trying to give him a chance, but comparing him to Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Steelers, I don't think that was a fair comparison because Tomlin inherited a very good situation in Pittsburgh. And I think he proved himself by being a coordinator for several seasons. I mean, Raheem Morris was just a linebacker coach for the Bucs before being promoted to initially defensive coordinator, but obviously that never panned out, and then eventually head coach. So I can understand why they got rid of him, but in my opinion, I think that's kind of doomed them from, I believe it was 2008, and they got to spend some money, got to put some money back into the team.
All right, well, the Bucs aren't the only team in a little bit of turmoil right now in Tampa Bay. The Lightning, who were one game away from the Stanley Cup Finals last season, find themselves mired in a very suddenly competitive Southeast Division this year, and they're near the bottom of the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, they've had a lot of problems, a lot of injury problems, and obviously, as a sports fan, you know that any teams go through injuries and whatnot through the course of the season, but with that aside, I just, for whatever reason, they haven't seem to gel. They haven't had that magic touch. I don't know if the stars just aligned perfectly last year, but they're just not really gelling. I mean, they got the shaky goaltending tandem of Roloson and Matthew Guerin. I mean, that's just, it's not a it's not a good place to start. Rolison had a breakout year. I compare it to the year far, I shouldn't say breakout year, but just a solid year. He kind of played above his head, and kind of like what Favre did with the Vikings in 09, and then followed the next season up with a less than stellar campaign. But the defense is a little shoddy, too.
Are they looking at trade possibilities, try to fix that up? Because they're 12th right now, but they're only 9 points out of 8th.
Not really, because from the top with the new owner, Jeff Finnick, he's very stable, and obviously the GM is Mr. Steve Yzerman, former Red Wing great. I don't think so. I think that they had a plan from the beginning to build this team, because the Lightning don't have a lot of depth in the farm team. They're trying to build that up. So I don't think trading is a necessity. I mean, I'm sure it's on the radar. I'm sure they're fielding calls, and they're calling a lot of GMs and a lot of teams. But as far as making it a done deal, I don't think so. I think that they would stay the course, and if they do finish at the bottom of the conference, the bottom of the division, they have a plan, they have a long-term plan. And you have to remember, too, I don't think anybody really expected the Lightning to go as far as they did last season. So you kind of have to bear in mind that they kind of overachieved last year. Maybe they're underachieving now, or maybe the bar was just set too high last year.
I think it's really hard to underachieve, though, when you have three quality marquee players like St. Louis, LeCavalier, and Stamkos, who's the only Lightning player representing the All-Star game.
Yeah, they have great offense, but as far as the defense and the goaltending, I mean, you could score 5 goals a night, but if you're giving up 6, you're still winding up in the loss column there.
What do you think about the new All-Star format?
I think it's very interesting. I think it gives the fans, in my opinion, a little bit more of an interest, like you alluded to earlier. It's like watching a live fantasy draft, which is exactly what it was 2 nights ago. I think it's good. I think it's a way to just kind of mix it up, because the majority of the All-Star games, the NFL's Pro Bowl, MLB All-Star game, I think it's too stagnant. So it's good for them for mixing it up.
It actually puts more realism into the proceedings, because the players decide who's going to be on their teams. It's not just, we're all in the same conference, so we're automatically going to be on the same team. You have the captains that pick the players.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think, you got Team Alfredson, you got all the Senators on one team, so obviously there's some loyalism there, but it just adds another dimension. That's kind of there's some intrigue there.
You've got the better goalies too.
Eastern Western Conference. I'm sorry.
You need to have good goalies in the All-Star game, and
Team
Alfredson has the best goalies.
But, like you said earlier, it might be another 12-10 game because the defense in the All-Star games.
I think that's probably a very dubious honor to be an NHL goalie and to be elected to play in the All-Star game. Because, what are you there for, really? Couldn't they just...
Yeah, it's like a catch-21, really.
Catch-21?
Yeah, it's like a catch-21. I mean, you're there, it's an honor, but you're probably going to give up quite a few goals.
I would love to see the stats of goalies that play in the NHL All-Star game, and then the first few starts that they have back when the season resumes after that. I want to see if their confidence is affected by their performance in the All-Star game, where they're basically just standing there and getting creamed.
That would be a good stat to look up. I mean, we could see as far as you could do that for baseball, too. If you got a pitcher blowing a lead in the ninth inning of the All-Star game, how his confidence is when he gets on the mound for a real game that counts, not an exhibition All-Star game. That's a good point.
You know what the most dubious honor in all sports is, though?
What is that?
To be the coach of your conference team in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I probably have to agree with that.
Think about every other All-Star game in Major League Baseball. The managers of the All-Star game are based on who made the World Series the previous year. In hockey and in basketball, it's the coaches of the teams that have the best records in their respective conferences at the All-Star break. In the NFL, it's the coaches of the teams that lose in the conference championships.
I wonder how that works out. I wonder how that makes you feel when you're on the sidelines in Hawaii.
Andy Reid, remember he lost 4 straight conference championship games? He got the Pro Bowl coach for 4 years in a row.
Yeah,
I'm sure he loves that.
Coach of the year in January.
Well, we got the Harbaugh Bowl. Pro Bowl is going to be the Harbaugh Bowl.
That's right. That's right. I think that would have been a fascinating Super Bowl, though, to see how they meet as head coaches, especially San Francisco's head coach, with him being there, for his first year and all.
Oh my God, we would have been so sick of the Harbaughs.
I didn't really care for the way he handled himself after they lost to New York last weekend. I mean, I know you work your tail off the entire season, and you want to obviously make it to the big game, the Super Bowl. But, you know, did anybody really think San Francisco, or I mean expect San Francisco besides the 49ers themselves, expect them to be in Indianapolis? I mean, I think you'd have to handle yourself a little bit better, especially with the media, because I think that becomes, not necessarily a PR issue, but, you know, people think of the 49ers. I was rooting for the 49ers out of the final four teams remaining just because I like the way they play football. It's a hard-nosed defensive football, and it was somebody different. I mean, I know they have a number of Lombardi trophies, but it's been a while since they have been there, and just to see the way he handled the media, didn't want to talk to anybody, I don't know. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Just the hype machine, though, about having two brothers as opposing coaches in the Super Bowl. You remember when the Steelers played the Seahawks in Detroit?
Yes,
and
I do.
All we could hear was, you know, Jerome Bettis grew up in Detroit? That game was his homecoming.
Yeah,
heard that all week. It was like just the most sickening thing. Like,
well,
we got it.
You know, people are looking for storylines. People are looking for angles. And I get you, it's worth mentioning. It's worth noting. But they take it to the extreme sometimes, such as life in the media.
Oh, they beat into the ground.
Yes, they did.
Into the ground. Sidney Crosby. Have you heard about Sidney Crosby, the latest with him?
Why not? Give me an update. Tell me what's going on with Sidney.
They're saying that he has two cracked vertebrae, the C1 and the C2. I wish I were educated enough to tell you exactly which vertebrae were the C1 and C2, but it sounds really bad.
It sounds bad, and we'll leave that to somebody who makes more money per year than us.
A cracked vertebrae?
Did they not pick up on this before? I mean, that just seems kind of bizarre, don't you think?
It was just discovered today.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't the C7 and C8, you know.
But what is the time frame for him to return, did they say?
They haven't said, but you don't want to mess with neck and spine injuries. That's why I think Peyton Manning's going to retire.
Yeah, I think that's probably in Peyton's best interest. But I was kind of intrigued on how the Peyton and the Ursay back and forth banter was going the past week.
Well, Jim Irsay does own the team, and Peyton Manning is entitled to a $28 million signing bonus.
What do you think ends up happening with Peyton? Do you think he retires?
He has nothing to prove by playing. Nothing. He's got the ring. He's got as much money as he's ever going to spend in his life. He's already a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got his legacy in Indianapolis, and what is the benefit to him going to Arizona or the Jets or some other team where he's just playing in some weird uniform, like when Franco Harris played with the Seahawks?
Right.
You know, why would you do that, honestly?
Well, you know, that's a very good point. I mean, what does he have left to prove? He's not, in my opinion, he's arguably, one of the best players to ever put on a uniform, especially at the quarterback position. But these guys have an itch to play. I mean, look at our boys in purple, our Favre. He went to New York for a year, and he came to Minnesota for 2 years. I don't think he really had anything left to prove.
Well, he got to stick it to Green Bay. That's what he had to
prove. He did get to stick it to Green Bay, but did he know that when he went to New York?
I think the New York thing was just, he wanted to go to Minnesota. His heart wasn't in New York.
Right.
That was just a way for him to, it was like some subterfuge, I think.
So correct me if I'm wrong here, when Brett signed with New York, wasn't it in the agreement with New York, Green Bay and New York, the agreement there, that if he was traded to Minnesota, they had New York at the forfeit, I believe it was four first-round picks?
It was,
is that correct?
It was the Vikings or the Bears, and it was three first-round picks. That's
okay,
right.
Free first round pick.
So Favre played his year in New York. He retired again, and then as a free agent signed with Minnesota. I think that was like the compromise he had to do to get to where he really wanted to be, and that was with the Vikings.
Right. But let me play on this angle with you. If Peyton, he's not coming back to Indianapolis, they're going to draft Andrew Luck. That's their quarterback of the future. That's going to be their quarterback of now, starting in August. Peyton decides he doesn't want to retire. Peyton decides he wants to continue to play football, not because he has anything left to prove, but because he just wants to play the game. If he goes to New York, the Jets, imagine that story line. You talked about earlier about stories getting run into the ground. Look at how that would get run into the ground. You got Eli with the Giants and Peyton with the Jets. Same stadium, brothers. I think the NFL would eat that up. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what he should do. I agree with you. I think he should retire. I think he should go out on top. I mean, with one team, with the Colts, he had a great career there. He has a Super Bowl ring. But a part of me is a little intrigued if he went to the Jets and there's little brother across the field. Well, not necessarily across the field, but that's his home stadium, too.
I don't think Peyton's going to play because he's had three neck surgeries in the last 2 years. And at that point, you're talking about your spine and your neck and the quality of life that you're willing to risk to play football you really need to play. I mean, what could happen to him? It could be something.
A lot of bad stuff could happen. I definitely see your point, and to be perfectly frank, I agree with you.
And Peyton's going to be a free agent anyway because the Colts have a deadline in March. I think it's March 8th.
Right.
They have to decide whether they're going to pay him that bonus or not, and if they don't pay him that bonus, then they have to release him. So Peyton's going to be a free agent, it looks like, heading into the draft, NFL draft. The question is, does he try to sign with anybody, or does he just decide that that's it?
I think
there's no way the Colts don't cut him. There's no way they pay him that money. No way.
What about to mentor Luck for a year? I know it's a lot of money. I know there's a lot of risk involved with Peyton, his health, but how about to mentor him?
And then you bring him back at a lower price.
Okay. But I think that could definitely be on the table, too. And I think that could definitely be good for Andrew Luck, too, personally.
It wouldn't hurt him.
No, not at all.
Especially they have a new offensive coordinator, the former coordinator of the Steelers. Bruce Arians just was signed to be offensive coordinator for the Colts. That happened today.
Right. Let's be honest, though. The real offensive coordinator has been number 18 for...
But if he's not going to be there anymore...
Then you're losing a big, big general on the field and really off the field, too, because he could read defenses, he can call audibles. He was the offensive coordinator in Indianapolis.
Basically, yeah, he was. One more thing before we go. I need to apologize because you are in my fantasy hockey league and I refer to us as nerds.
Because we are.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm a sex symbol, but no one knows it. How's your team doing, by the way? What's your team name again?
I'm, as you can attest to with my football team, this particular year I've been very bad with my fantasy teams. Football, hockey, I think I maybe even had a basketball one in there somewhere. I do the drafts, and I kind of abandon them, so I need to work on them. I don't even know what the name of my team is.
See, that's something you need. You need to become more of a nerd. You're not nerdy enough.
I do need to become more of a nerd.
Yeah. It takes five minutes.
Can you give me lessons?
Absolutely. Because I'm a former champion.
Perfect.
And my team's doing really well. They're injured. A lot of them's injured. Got all-star players that are injured.
Who do you have?
That's injured?
Yeah.
Bufflin's injured, and Mikko Koivu's injured, and the best defenseman on the Capitals, Green, he's injured.
Mike Green, yeah. But are you in first?
I'm in third.
Third, okay. That's respectable, right?
Four weeks ago, I was in tenth.
Closer to the bottom of that totem pole.
There's always hope. Just get cracking on it. Takes a few minutes just to go through your team and set your lineups every day.
I'll channel my inner nerd for you.
Please do.
Yes, sir.
Paul Driscoll, the Tampa Bay Times, formerly the St. Petersburg Times.
It was a good name change. It was a good name change. I think it definitely reflects on our... we're trying to brand not just St. Pete. I believe a lot of people, the misconception with being named the St. Petersburg Times, well, there's a lot of history associated with that name, and that name will always be associated with the paper, even though it's called the Tampa Bay Times. I think a lot of people locally, even in the Tampa Bay area, not just in the national aspect of it, associated the St. Petersburg Times strictly with the city of St. Petersburg and Pinellas County rather than the Tampa Bay area. So I think it was definitely a good rebranding for us, and I'm proud of it, and I think it will prove to be a solid move.
Is it still Florida's best newspaper?
It's always been Florida's best newspaper. You can call whatever you want. It's Florida's best newspaper.
Beautiful place to live. I've been there many times. Did some radio there. Must be a lot of news in the Bay. They're calling it Tampa Bay Times now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to live. I've lived here my entire life, born and raised. It's home. And if anybody hasn't been, they should definitely come and check it out. And if you have, come on back because it truly is. It's paradise.
Go to a Rays game.
Go to a Rays game, please, somebody. We need people.
Yes, they do. They're a good team, but no one knows it because they don't go to the games.
No. I mean, I understand the location. I understand. Trust me, I'm an advocate to get it in Hillsborough County, to get it in the city of Tampa. Now, I understand there's a lot of, trust me, we could talk about this for hours. There's a lot of issues with getting it to Tampa, breaking the lease in St. Pete, which runs until 2027. But, at the stadium, I don't know if you had personally been to a game prior to, I believe it was 2005. They did a lot of renovations on it inside and out. They installed a new Jumbotron, a new ribbon board above left field, painted it, tried to make it more fan-friendly. They allowed you to bring food in. They had free parking for part of the time. They had a carpooling promo. If you have four people in your car, it's free. Just a lot of fan-friendly things made the stadium look nicer on the inside and the out. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's still a average stadium. Some people classify it as below average. I think it got a bad rap. I mean, I've personally been to the Metrodome for a Twins game, and I ranked it a lot higher than the Metrodome. Metrodome's got a lot of character, but I think its time has passed. And the same thing you said for the Trop, too.
I will say this. Family Fun Day, some of the best deals you can get. Ticket price with food vouchers and drink vouchers, the giveaways. Go on the field, run the bases. The kids can't anyway. They won't let me run the bases.
Right.
It's like I've remarked to people. They've done about as much as they can with what it is at Tropicana Field. I mean, there's only so much you can do with it, but it's admirable that the ownership for the Rays have tried to make it look as ballparky. I know that's not a word, but who cares? They tried to make it as ballparky as they could.
They did. They tried to make it more fan-friendly. They spruced it up. I mean, there's a lot of different things. If you would have seen if we could have a split screen, if this was on TV, and show a picture of what it looked like, I'll say like 2001, 2002, during the dog day, devil ray days of losing 105 games a year versus post 08, 09. I mean, that's a whole different ballpark, and I understand it's still a dome. It still looks like a spaceship is landing in downtown St. Petersburg, but they really tried, and I think they've exhausted all the possibilities and tried to entice fans to get down there. But at the end of the day, I think it has to do with its location and the fact that you have to cross. I understand it's a bridge, and a bridge works both ways, but when you're trying to get a lot of the area lives in Hillsborough County or Tampa, trying to get them to Pinellas County, when you rush hour on a Tuesday afternoon at 6:30 and somebody has to go home to get ready for work or pick up their kids or whatever, it just becomes a hassle. You got rush hour traffic, and if there's an accident on the Howard Franklin Bridge, 275, God help you, because you're going to be waiting there a while. And as you know, when you're on a bridge, you can't get off at an exit and take a detour and get back on. You're stuck. So the location is a big reason for the problem.
I think total lack of public transit is also a problem.
A big problem. I've been an advocate for public transportation. I visited the only two times I've been to the North Star State was in 2007, and I rode the light rail several times, and I thought that was the most fascinating thing. Granted, I've been to New York, I've ridden the subway, I've been to Boston, I've ridden the train. That's real mass transit. But something like the light rail that's in the Twin Cities, I thought was fascinating. It'd be perfect for the Tampa Bay area.
And the best part about the light rail in Minnesota doesn't smell like urine, like the subway in New York does.
Yes, exactly. It's clean, it's taken care of, the people respect it, and it's brand new, too.
Awesome. Hopefully we'll see you up in Minnesota again. Hopefully I can get back down to Tampa Bay. I know the Twins have their spring training in Fort Myers.
Beautiful stadium.
I love Florida, love the weather, and I got to get back down there soon. Paul Driscoll, writer for the Tampa Bay Times, still Florida's best newspaper. I appreciate you calling and talking to me today.
Thank you for having me on. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Got a little sidetracked. I forgot to mention my Pro Bowl idea. Let me know what you think of it. You can email me or follow me on Twitter at Notch17. The game's basically a flag football game as it is anyway, so why not just make it a flag football game? And what you do is you have a contest where you invite one fan of every NFL team to be on the AFC and NFC rosters with the actual players. Come on, who wouldn't take advantage of that and try to do that? That wouldn't spike interest in the game? Something to discuss off the podcast, WBN at Notchville.com or Twitter at Notch17. I would love to know what you think about this.